Very good. It's good to see everybody this morning. Appreciate you having me. I think most of you know of me, for good or bad. So it's good to see you this morning. If you want to, you can go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and at 22 to 25 there. Cameron, we've been studying the fruit of the Spirit for several weeks now, and so this is actually going back a few weeks, and you know, I was trying to think of a lesson that I could, you know, that I could use this morning that would speak to you, even though we haven't had an opportunity to kind of track along together. And so I tried to tie in this morning with Bible class as well as this morning with Galatians 5 and this idea of the flesh and the spirit and how the flesh and the spirit war against one another, but how the flesh has certain acts that are evident. In other words, here are the things of the spirit that Paul, I mean, things of the flesh, Paul says, and licentiousness, and just gives a big long list. And he says those things are obvious. He says, but the things that the fruit that the spirit produces, or the fruit of the spirit, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You know, and he goes on through that list. So this morning we're going to take a look at peace. We're going to take a look at peace. I feel like for most people, the idea of peace is probably what comes to their mind is maybe peace instead of war or something like that. And though we will take a look at that, we're also going to be talking about the peace we have with God as well as the peace that we have with one another, which I think, well, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. So, but we live in a world that is tumultuous. I think we would all agree. Right, just a few weeks ago, you know, some horrendous events in Las Vegas, and it just seems to be all the time there's something that's disrupting what we would consider peaceful, right? And that's on a grand scale, but even in our own individual lives, there are times where our life seems to be peaceful, but then there's always an intruder, something that comes in and creates turmoil within our spirits, maybe within our lives, or maybe both. And I believe that all of us, our souls, yearn for peace. That's what we long for. It's what we desire, to be peaceful. Then we ask ourselves, well, how? How can we find peace? I don't think that I'm going to be able to give you a 1-2-3 step this morning on how to find peace, but I do believe that the Bible does provide some clues regarding the peace that were offered by Christ and how that peace not only affects who we are on the inside, but how that peace ripples out into the relationships around us. And I'll describe that more in a moment. I want to begin by admitting that in many ways my mind and my heart and my spirit are just as restless as anyone else's. And that even myself, I yearn for that peace. And for me, peace a lot of times doesn't come because I'm not willing to give up whatever it is that I'm hanging on to, or I'm not willing to invest in relationships as I should, or I'm not willing to defer to God as I should. And so that creates that tension within me. So what we're going to start today is peace with God. From a Christian perspective, the confusion of the world and what we would call the fallen state of man is the cause of unrest, right? The world is confused. The fallen people are just going to be bad. That's what they do, right? I mean, we prove it every day. And it creates a lot of unrest, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. Whether, again, it be on a grand scale, whether we're afraid that something bad is going to happen to us as a nation, whether somebody is going to enter this church building, or whether or not something is going to happen in my life that for now is peaceful, but what's going to happen next? Has anybody ever been living in a time where things were going really well and you just say to yourself, I wonder when this is going to be over? Yeah. Right? Because we know it's coming. We live in times that are unpeaceful. I believe, first of all, that sin is the reason we do not find peace. It may be our sin, right? It may be something that I've done that's created this turmoil in my life, but I wish it was all up to me, because then I could blame myself and that'd be it. But guess what? Sometimes it's the sin of others even that creates a world that is not peaceful. In Isaiah, we're told it twice, actually, 48:22 and then 57:2, there is no peace for the wicked. Isn't that true? There's no peace when we find ourselves caught up in these things. Argue that the need for peace must be recognized. And I feel like we can only recognize it when we're living in turmoil. When we're living in a state of unrest. Right? Would we know what peace was if we didn't know turmoil? And I feel like in a lot of cases, and this is just kind of a side note, that God puts us in a state of unrest so that He can give us ultimate peace. Right? How many of you that were, I talked about this morning, that were older when you obeyed the gospel, felt that unrest until you obeyed the gospel? Where you were like, I cannot, there's something in me that is missing. And I cannot find rest until we're able to give it to God. Now, we know what it's like for God to put us in a place so we can seek for peace. And I believe it can only come from God. True peace. We're told in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because what we fail to realize is that through our sin, there's enmity. In other words, there's hostility between us and God, right? Because we are sinful and He is not. But Jesus comes in and reconciles us and kind of mediates this peace agreement between us and God. He's that catalyst for us. And that is where I believe our peace must begin, in Christ and through the intercession of the Spirit. What we're told, the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And I want to say this lest I forget maybe later on. If a man or woman is not peaceful, then they're not exhibiting the Spirit of God. Right? Because if it's a fruit of the Spirit, then we are going to be men and women of peace. Peace within ourselves, peace with the world, peace with those around us. Let's look at a couple of passages. I know I told you to turn to Galatians 5, but okay. Let's turn to John 14:27. You can either turn there, or I will read it. So, John 14:27 be the first, then we'll also go to John 16 if you want to prepare for that. But in 14:27, let's start it back in verse 25. Jesus giving some words to his disciples here near the end of his earthly life, and he says, "I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, or the Helper, being the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." Has anybody ever noticed that? Then in the midst of him explaining, "I'm giving you my Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as your helper," that he also says, "I am providing you with peace. And I'm giving you peace not like the world gives. I'm giving you real peace. I'm giving you my peace." And whatever it is that is. All right, so let's look at John 16:33. Just one more passage here. Verse 33 of chapter 16 of John. "I have said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage." What? "I've conquered the world." The peace that we have through Jesus is because of what He has done. He says, yeah, the world gives you unrest. The world gives you all these other things, but I've conquered the world. Why are you afraid? Why do you not have peace? Right? And so we'll look at that more fully as we move forward. But look at Jesus first when we talk about the idea of peace. The second is what we're going to talk about, this, what we might call inner peace. Right? Paul says this is the peace that, quote, surpasses all comprehension. Right? This is something that that is given to us that we really can't understand or explain. Right? We talked about it this morning, you know, some things that we all experience that we may not be able to kind of put our fingers on, but we know through experience what it is. And we've all been provided that peace, right? Some of us, it's when someone passes away. Maybe we have this peace that we can't really understand or explain, but it's there. And I believe it's that peace that's given to us through the Spirit. The Jews use the term, which is also used in the New Testament, though it's translated into Greek. Does anybody know what the term they use for peace? We've all heard it before, probably. Shalom. Yes, very good. Shalom. And the idea really is more than peace as opposed to conflict, but it's the idea of either contentment or it's more especially like wholeness. In other words, you're at peace, you're whole, you're complete. Does that make sense? In other words, so Jesus tells them when they tells his disciples when they go into someone's home that you pronounce peace upon the house. In other words, you're saying complete. This is good. This is whole. This is something that we needed, right? You know, it's just not peace because we're not in conflict with one another. It's something more than that. And I believe that is, the peace of God begins in us. And I'm going to mention this more as we move forward because I feel like a lot of problems are based on this. So we'll talk about it more. But the peace of God begins in us. In our hearts. The problem is, as with love and with joy, that we would have looked at before had we been kind of moving through this together, that even though we are Christian and we've been given the Spirit, the flesh is still powerful and our lives are in turmoil. Right? We talked about it this morning in class. We wish that once we became a Christian, all of the problems of the world disappeared. But because everybody's laughing, we understand that's just not how it works. Right? Didn't work that way with Jesus. Didn't work that way with Paul or his disciples. Well, you know, why else would we need an encouraging word from them always? Don't be afraid, because that's our we want to be afraid. The world is a terrifying place to live in. But the flesh provides this turmoil that we can't really get our minds around. In Romans 8 and 6, we're told, "For the mind set on the flesh is what? Death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." Life and peace. Whether it is our marriages, our children, our families, our jobs, our security, our sense of worth, all of the turmoil of these things find ways into our heart and we weep. We may yell. We may cry out, we beg, we plead, and maybe sometimes we give up. We search for peace that this world says it has to offer, and we cannot find it. We will not find it. I believe with all of my heart, because of what the Bible teaches, that our soul is troubled for a reason. Think about that this morning. I'm going to give you a few seconds of silence to think. And I have it here highlighted. Why is your heart troubled? You may be at peace this morning. That's okay too. But if your heart is troubled, why? Why is your soul restless? Why, even in the midst of times that are good, can we not find peace? I believe that the Spirit can provide this wholeness, this peace that we need. But the hard part is, I believe it comes with the price of humility, self-sacrifice, that many of us, myself included, are just not willing to give up. To find the peace that Jesus had, to find the peace that Paul had, means giving up a lot of what I want and what I need. Agreed? I believe we must change the way we see ourselves, our situations, our rights, our lives, everything. We must change the way we see everything in order to have the peace that we're told about in the Bible. Because I believe, again, the peace that surpasses comprehension is not based on our circumstances. In other words, even though our circumstances may change, the peace of God is more than that situation. Right? Because things are going to change. If we cannot find peace now, what makes us think a change of circumstance will create any type of lasting peace? Right? We talk about, well, if I could just have a bigger house, or if I could just have a better vehicle that I'd have to work on all the time, or if I could have just a better job, or if I could just move somewhere that I felt better, then I would have peace. I disagree. If we can't find peace in God now, we will never find peace. There has to be somewhere to find it. And it's not in our circumstances. You may find peace for a little while, but if that circumstance has nothing to do with God, you will not find peace. Even in the lives of Christians, as all of us can attest, circumstances will come, turmoil will come. That's just the nature of living in a world that we live in, right? But I believe that whether or not peace can come, even in the midst of struggle, is where the Spirit finds expression. Look at the way the Christians react in turmoil versus everyone else. How are we going to react in times of when times are bad? This is a tough lesson for me. Peace. Because this is easily one of those things we could talk about in platitudes, right? And just say things that sound real nice about peace that have no reality to it. Because we live in a world that is not peaceful. And it's easy to just proclaim peace, but it's another thing to have it. To truly have it. But Paul says that peace is what the Spirit produces in us. Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount at the beginning, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Our inner peace, I believe, is given by the Spirit, and it directly affects the peace we have with, not just with God, and not just with ourselves, but who else? Everybody else. And this is where I feel like we don't take enough steps. Because everybody wants to know how to have inner peace. But I'm telling you, if you have inner peace, it's going to have to do with those around you. I also believe a man or woman who finds no peace within themselves will also find no peace with those around them. Has anybody ever met somebody who's just, to use the old Alabama term, ornery? Could not find peace with another soul? Right? And that's one of the beauties of the gospel, isn't it? Is that we can reconcile relationships. I want you to see how important relationships and peace are to God. In Matthew, Jesus says, look, if you go to the altar to worship God, and there you remember that you got something against somebody or they got something against you. He says, I want you to worship God anyway, and then just leave that other relationship alone and maybe it'll take care of itself. Don't quote me on that. That is not what it says. What does it say? If you go to the altar and there you remember, what do you do first? Take care of that situation. Reconcile. Create peace where there was conflict so that you can have peace with God. See how it all works together. My peace on the inside directly affects my peace with other people and directly affects my peace with God. If I find myself in a battle against God all the time, guess whose fault it is? Hint, it's not God's. If I find myself in turmoil with other people, it might be partly their fault, but guess who else's fault it probably is too? Yours. So if you look back and you're thinking right now, yeah, I had that little altercation a few days ago. Oh yeah, and about a week before that I had another one. Oh, and then about a month ago, I remember I told that dude off. It might not be that dude's fault. It's probably yours, right? You know, when we begin to think about peace, we need to think about who we are. Am I a peaceful person? Have I truly found the peace that God has told me that He would give me? And if I can't find peace with other people, I probably haven't. But that's the beauty of the gospel. Again, as we mentioned, that it reconciles relationships. It breaks down cultural barriers. And as this young lady mentioned this morning, it dissolves hatred. That's what the Spirit of God does. It provides us with peace. Not just peace that I'm going to go to heaven, but peace knowing that you and I can get along. Again, what does Paul tell him at the end of Romans? He says, let God have the vengeance. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He says, so far as it depends on you, what? Be at peace with all men. And that doesn't mean, well, if they keep on, well, then you can be mean to them. That means they can be mean, but that it has nothing to do with you. As far as it depends on you, you need to be peaceful. The gospel is peaceful because we as individuals have received the peace that is given to us by God. Look in James 3:18. James 3:18. We're almost finished. We'll actually start in verse 17. James says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy, and a harvest of righteousness is sown, how? In peace for those who make peace. This is why I argue relationships with others struggle. One or the other of them, if not both, do not have peace. Peace with God or peace within themselves. How can peace come between people if the individuals themselves are not peaceful? How? This is impossible. Often our minds and hearts are not peaceful. Agreed? I have that in my life, and I assume you do too. But instead we feel ourselves, we worry and we're confused. And this worry and unrest bleeds into our relationship with others, as well as our relationship with God. For a while, for a few months, I felt, and I'm just going to be honest with you guys, completely empty. As if I no longer had the Spirit, as if I was no longer, I just felt completely empty. And it didn't just affect me, though. You know, that unrest affected my family, and you know, the way they reacted to me affected other people. We wish we could be an island when we're feeling like that. But we're not. It does affect others. And because of our inner conflicts, we live in a world of conflict and a life in opposition to God. Do you know why nations war against other nations? Because individuals do not have peace. Right? Because if they did, why don't we need to have war? We wouldn't. So yeah, it may look like big nations versus big nations, but there it starts with me. I know that seems almost like a hopeless situation, but that's where it must begin. Is me trying to find peace with God. And I actually argue God giving us peace through His Spirit. When you think about the gospel and what it did, and we see it over and over again sociologically in the New Testament, right? There's no longer either Jew nor Greek where there was turmoil. There's no longer slave or free, because guess what? There was turmoil there before the gospel came. There is no longer male and female when there was beforehand. But the gospel is able to create peace where there was enmity and strife. I use Philemon, and people just skip over Philemon. It is very sad. But I use Philemon as the example. Yeah. Does anybody remember who Onesimus was? And what Paul asked Philemon to do. This shows us how little we read Philemon. Onesimus was a slave who had become a Christian because of Paul. And do you remember what Paul asked Philemon to do? Really commands him, but not really. If you read it, he kind of try to pushes him as much as he can, but I'm going to leave it up to you. What does he tell him to do? Let this man go. And when he comes back, you accept him as a brother. That is a peace that only God can give. When you break down the barriers that our culture or our world sets into place, it's because you have peace here. If Philemon did not have inner peace, do you think he's going to let that slave who ran away go free? No. But if he's got the peace of the gospel, which Paul believed he had, he would. I don't know what happened to Philemon Onesimus. I have a lot of faith in Philemon. I think he let him go. Accepted him back as a brother, but I don't know. But that's the power of the gospel, is that we find peace when other people just see turmoil and pain and suffering. When I think of peace, I would have a picture up here this morning, but I didn't want to make a slideshow just for one picture. I want you to think about the mountains. And in the middle of these mountains, there is this lake. It is perfectly tranquil. There's no wind. There's nothing on the water to disturb it. And it looks like a sheet of glass. And that's what I think about when I think about peace. But the problem with that portrait of peace is any slight thing could disturb it. What would happen if I took a small pebble and just tossed it in? Or if the wind began to blow? What would happen? You began to see those ripples. It would no longer be our vision then of peace. I believe that we're much like that lake. For some of us, we're peaceful just when the circumstances are right. When it's calm, when there's no wind blowing, yeah, I can find peace. But today, I'm asking you to turn your life over to God enough to where you can have lasting peace. I want you to think about this, and the lesson is yours, with this idea of peace. Jesus and his disciples are on the sea, and this great wind and all of this stuff comes up, churning about, and it looks as if peace is not to be found. Right? You remember what Jesus does? What does he do? He stands up and he says, "Peace. Be still." And then what happened? There was a stillness there. And I believe just like that, he can do that in our lives if we let him. He can proclaim peace and it will be. During these series of lessons, I've asked the church at Cameron at the end of each one, and I'll ask us today, to have a heart conversation, because we're looking at each of these aspects of the fruit. And what I mean by that is you have to look into yourself. I don't know about your life, about your peacefulness, but I'm asking you, ask yourself, am I peaceful? And if not, why? We don't want to be like this passage in Jeremiah 8. It says, "They heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially. They say, peace, peace, but there is no peace." I urge us all to find real peace in Jesus through the Spirit that he's given us. Amen? Amen. Maybe there are some today who have not obeyed the gospel, and we definitely want to give you an opportunity to do that today. To take that old man, as Paul says in Romans 6, my favorite passage on baptism. He says, put that old man to death so that you can be raised to walk a new man who walks in newness of life. And that new man does not walk in turmoil, but he walks in peace. But maybe there are some this morning who just need the prayers of the church. I realize maybe there are some of us whose lives right now, because of maybe circumstances outside of our control, that are just not peaceful. Regardless of what your needs are, we do encourage you to come as we stand and sing.